Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A few weeks ago, I was late to Bible study on Sunday night, and that was a little difficult because I was teaching the Bible study at Denver Bible Church, but I was only a couple minutes late. But I was late because I received a phone call from a federal judge, which is an honor, and he wanted to talk about political issues and criminal justice issues. And that has been a phenomenon of Bob Enyart Live over the last 20 years on the air, 5 days a week. We have had, district attorneys and prosecutors, federal judges. In fact, our kids wear clothes that are shipped to us from across the country from a federal judge who has kids a little older than our boys. When they grow out of their clothes, they ship them to Cheryl, and she figures out which of our kids fit into them. And so it's really been an honor over the years, and a lot of law enforcement listeners who then get in touch with us, and they're so encouraged because we affirm the New Testament teaching for the death penalty and respect for law enforcement and respect for God's law. And so what an honor right now today to have in studio Danny Sandoval. Danny, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. I'm excited to be here.
Wow, you're a listener to this show?
I have. I've been a longtime listener. I remember when you first went on the air, it was about 1990.
Wow. Still that's in high school. 1991. You were in high school.
Yes.
And it is an honor not only to have you in the audience, Danny, but the fact that you're in law enforcement. We teach our kids, of course, as families do all over the country, to appreciate the police, to respect them, to obey them. And so it's always fun. We have law enforcement officers who attend Denver Bible Church and even who provide security for us. So, wow, it's great to have you in studio. And I wanted to ask you, if it's okay, about being a believer on the job. What is that like?
Well, it's an exciting, exciting job. And I do not know how officers who do not know the Lord could do the job that I do. Mm. Just the idea that I know I have hope, I have the security of knowing where I'm going to go when I die, the idea that today at work could be my last day on this planet, but knowing that Jesus Christ is within me, it gives me a confidence and a courage to do my job. And it's also a blessing. I've had the opportunity to witness to people. I've seen people come to Christ in my patrol car.
Oh, wow.
I've seen people who know the Lord come back to the Lord.
Oh, Danny, when you talk about today could be my last, if somebody is a bookkeeper and they're going into work, they don't think like that because it'd be extremely rare for somebody going in to, say, cook at a McDonald's to think that his risks involve maybe getting killed. Of course, people do get killed around the world for all kinds of reasons, but as a law enforcement officer, the risks go up dramatically. Even for a typical traffic stop, there's a risk as you approach a car.
That's correct. Just the idea that when I'm walking up to a car, somebody can surprise me and jump out with a gun or even back into me, or just a car driving past me on the highway could run into me.
Hey, could I confess that this week on Monday, I got pulled over by a police officer and a real nice guy. But when I did, I turned off my engine and put my keys up on the dash along with my driver's license and all that paperwork. And so that I heard a long time ago, that helps the officer feel a little bit more comfortable that you're not going to try to take off real quick.
That's correct. And not to mention, because you're keeping your hands visible, and you're making slow movements. You're not making what we call furtive movements, fast movements.
Right.
It reassures us that you're trying to keep us safe as well.
Yeah. So I kept my hands on the steering wheel and put my keys up on top, and he just gave me a warning. I forgot to put my tags on my license plate. You know,
right.
You redo the registration. Right. So he was real kind. So it is a risk. But if you know that you'll live forever with the Lord and with all your loved ones who also love the Lord, wow, that's a great confidence.
It is a great confidence. And I think for me, I've seen, and just in my life, I don't have to rely on the measures of alcohol. I know a lot of people in this profession that I'm in, they tend to drink more, and it's their way of coping and dealing with the negative things we see. For me, because of Christ, I'm able to turn the negative into a positive. I can counterbalance the bad things at work with the good things in life, the good things of God.
Oh, wow.
And that's just, to me, the most amazing part of doing what I do.
That is amazing. So could you give us a little glimpse into specifics? What happens when you're on the job and you're a Christian?
Well, one of the earliest stories I remember when I was younger in my career is about 10 years ago. I had arrested this guy. And on the way to jail, where I was taking him was about 45 minutes away. And when we were about 5 minutes into the drive, he said to me, he said, "What if I were to get out of my handcuffs somehow and kill you while you were driving? What would you do?"
Wow.
And
I guess die would be the first
answer. I chuckled, and that's exactly what I told him. I said, "Well, I guess I'd go to heaven."
Oh.
But the thing that I asked him, I said to him was,
"Well, Danny, first, what a thing to hear when you're at work. And it's from a criminal who you're bringing to jail. And he says, what would you do if I killed you?"
It was. I mean,
it
got my senses up. I readjusted the mirror to make sure I was totally able to see him while I was driving.
Right.
But the second thing that came out of my mouth was, actually, what would you do if you killed me? Because I'm about 200 pounds sitting in the driver's seat of this car with my foot on the gas, dead weight. So now the gas is probably going to accelerate. No one's going to steer the car because you can't move me out of the way from the back seat.
Right.
So more than likely, I'm going to wreck into something and you could end up dying. So what are you going to do when you die?
Wow.
Where are you going to go?
Oh.
And I explained to him how when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I know that I'm going to be with my Savior. I'm going to be with my Lord. I'm going to be with my other family members that have gone on before me. And I said, but you, do you know Jesus? You know Christ.
Wow.
And he said,
and he opened the door, right? He asked you about death.
He did open the door. He asked me what I would do.
Yeah.
And once that door is open, I just walked right on through.
You said, my Savior, referring to Jesus Christ. On Sunday, the Broncos won in the last 3 minutes. I don't know if you saw that game. And then Tim Tebow was being interviewed right after the game on KOA Radio, and he said, well, first, I want to give thanks to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was just so encouraging to so many people, because to hear the Lord's name today in the media, it's only when he's taken in vain, or they're mocking Jesus Christ or Christians. So to hear someone as a role model speak of Jesus Christ and honor him, it's just so encouraging. And so hearing from you that you shared with this suspect who's going to jail, hey, I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know that you're going to heaven?
Well, I know, and this is exactly what I explained to him during the drive. I know that I'm going to heaven because, first of all, I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins, that he was risen in 3 days. And that I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I've told him that I believed it. I confessed it. I told him I'm a sinner. And I asked him to forgive me.
Wow.
And I know that he has.
Wow.
And he's come into my life. He's come into my heart.
And the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is overwhelming. We produced a DVD called Mount Moriah, The Evidence for the Resurrection. And there were thousands of years of prophecies of a coming Messiah and the seed of the woman. The child, the son of a virgin, who would then be crucified. His hands and feet would be pierced on the top of Mount Moriah, which is the hill in Jerusalem where the temple was built on. And sure enough, at the peak of Mount Moriah is Golgotha, the place of the skull. Christ was crucified there and buried in the tomb. And 3 days later, raised from the dead, and it was an empty tomb. So Pilate, Herod, Caesar himself could not come and produce the dead body and say, you Christians are wrong. Here he is, because in fact, he was risen.
That's correct. And on top of that, there are many witnesses who saw him after he arose, many witnesses who saw him ascend into heaven. So we know that he's alive. We know that he's well. We know that he came to fulfill what he said he'd fulfill.
Yeah. And so with that confidence in salvation in Jesus Christ, when someone threatens you or suggests they might threaten you, well, the first thing that comes to mind is Jesus Christ, and he's my Savior. Second thing that comes to mind is, doesn't sound like he's your Savior, and you better trust in him.
Exactly. As I was driving the rest of the way to the jail, I explained to him the gospel. I gave him the plan of salvation, and as we were pulling up to the front gate, I pulled the car over and I asked him, do you want to accept Christ as your Savior? Would you like to find the freedom in Christ? You're going to be locked up in jail, but in Christ, you'll find true freedom, freedom you've never had.
You could absolutely be free in jail.
Yes.
As the apostles were, as some of the prophets were, as Jesus Christ himself was in jail, and yet the king of the universe.
That's correct. And lo and behold, we sat there at the side of the road, and I led him through the sinner's prayer, and he accepted Christ as a Savior right there.
Wow.
Before we went in, and he was crying. I probably shed some tears with him. I think I was crying so many tears of rejoicing. And once I got him in there and sent him on his way, he shook my hand and thanked me and said that he's going to look for the chaplain, and he's going to do what he can to serve Christ.
Wow. Now, Danny, you know I've had a full-time jail ministry in the past, sort of 24 hours, 7 days a week, and we've had wonderful times in jail. And I recall one guy in Jefferson County Jail who was in there because he was a child molester, and he was despised by the other inmates. And the inmates found out why everyone was in jail. The printout that you can get that says each inmate's record fell into the hands of the inmates.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's not supposed to happen.
Right.
But the trustees who clean the sheriff's office and all got one of those printouts out of the trash and into the pod. And so this one guy, who nobody liked anyway, had been a child molester, and he was the most egotistical and unrepentant guy there. We'd have a Bible study every day, and he would say, I should be a saint. I'm so good. I'm this, I'm that. And we would tell him, you know, you are not forgiven by God. We don't forgive you. You need to repent. And after a few weeks of sitting in on our Bible studies, he said, you know what? I think I do need to repent. And he began to cry. And I've told this story on the air just a couple times. But as he cried, his nose started running, his tears, and literally, it sounds gross, but his nose was running and dripping onto his open Bible. And a guy named Sammy on the other side of the table, who was in jail for shooting and killing his stepfather with a shotgun to the face, Sammy had become a Christian in jail, came around the table, got napkins, and cleaned up the Bible and cleaned up this young guy's face and gave him a hug, and we all hugged him and prayed with him. So he finally repented.
That is awesome. And to me, that's exactly the hope that we have, that the power of Christ, the repentance that we can turn away from our sins, and he will accept us no matter how dirty we are. Mm. We repent of our sins and turn to him, and his blood washes us clean.
Yeah, wow. So that is one guy who found eternal life on the way to jail.
That's correct. I've had the opportunity to witness to many people, but one of the things that I also enjoy doing is figuring out who knows Christ, but who's walked away from him, and it also provides an opportunity for me to remind them that Christ loves them and accepts them.
Because a lot of inmates in jail, I know from firsthand experience, are Christian. A lot of them.
Yes. And it's amazing how many people I run into who have accepted Christ in their past.
And just they're in rebellion. They're in denial. They're in the flesh.
Exactly.
They're backslidden.
They're backslidden. They, for whatever reason, decided to turn away and find the fun in sin again.
Yeah. And that term is in the Bible. God speaks of Israel and says, backslidden Israel.
Exactly. So one day I came into work, it was on a Sunday morning, and they had arrested this guy on the graveyard shift. I was coming in for my day shift, and during the time that they had him in there, they hadn't had a chance to process him and do his fingerprints, take his picture. So they asked me if I'd take care of that for them so that the officer who arrested him can do the work he needed to do to get off work on time. So I said, sure, no problem. So I go back in there, and I start doing the paperwork I had to do, and I asked this gentleman, I'll call him a gentleman, and I said, what exactly would you be doing today if you were not here with me? What would you be doing?
And if you weren't in jail.
If you weren't going to jail, what would you be doing? And he said, well, I'll tell you what I should be doing, but I wouldn't be, because I should be going to church.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, explain to me exactly what you mean by that. What do you mean you'd be going to church? And he says, well, you know, I accepted Christ as my Savior many years ago, about 10 or so years ago. I was a lot younger, and I used to serve God. In fact, I used to be a youth minister, and I think, if I remember correctly, I used to do some preaching. Mm-hmm. And he decided, for whatever reason, that he was just going to go back to his old lifestyle.
He's going to have more fun disobeying God. That's what people think.
Exactly.
And what a lie and a deception that is. Satan was a liar from the beginning, and you can't have more fun. You can't have more pleasure and blessings and happiness than if you love God, enjoy God, obey God.
Exactly. And I think if Satan can deceive us and cause us to walk away, then it keeps us from ministering and witnessing and preaching the gospel of Christ to others. So less people could hear the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So he started explaining to me about how he'd be in church or how he should be in church. And I said, well, it's a shame that you're not. I said, but you know what? I think God is trying to wake you up. You were arrested on these charges because God is trying to wake you up. And I said, and there's a good chance that I'm here to wake you up.
Mm.
I said, you see, I'm a Christian, and I believe Christ is my Savior. I believe he died for me and he rose again.
Yeah.
And I love to live for him, and I do what's right because I love him, and I want to do what's right.
Wow, Danny.
And he said, you know, I want to get that back, but sometimes I just feel like God isn't going to love me anymore because I've turned against him and
yeah.
I've sinned against him. And I said, when you accepted Christ, did you not know that he died for you, not just for the time you accepted him, but for eternity?
Oh, wow.
And you have to choose to turn away from your sin, repent of your sin. You have to choose to be the one to say, I no longer want to live in that sin. I told him, you have to choose to realize that you're free from sin. You are free from that sin, and you don't have to sin to find his grace.
So when he was being processed, and he has a police officer who is there and who is encouraging him that God still loves him. Remember Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7, because God is a forgiving God. If we repent, he wants to receive us.
Exactly.
He wants that. And Danny, I remember when I was in as an inmate in Jefferson County Jail. When I talk about my jail ministry days, that's when I was an inmate in all kinds of jails, from Boulder County, Jefferson, Denver County Jail, El Paso County, Arapahoe County, in Kansas, in Washington, D.C. Sort of made the rounds, you know, but always a wonderful time for me because I get to witness not only to the inmates, but to the guards. And each time it was for standing up for biblical principles, for loving children, loving the innocent. And so I end up in jail, as a number of the people in the Bible ended up in jail too. So it partly depends on why are you in jail. And so I always was able to have a great time. And because I'm an extrovert, there's always people to talk to. But, you know, the guards, I'm thinking about in Jefferson County, I was in there for a couple months, and at 2 a.m, my door would buzz open, and I'd go out, and a guard would say to me, what do you think it means in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 when Paul says blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, oh, wow, that is an interesting verse. He said, good, let me put you on the speakerphone here. We're having a conference call, the guards in the different parts of the jail. He said, we're having a Bible study. And so I would be able to enjoy time of fellowship with them because they were believers. But you know what I found out? And so many believers I've met as police officers and working in the jails with corrections and all, those who work in the jails put up with so much horrendous behavior, horrendous sexually immoral perversion, filth, hatred, that it begins to rub off on them and they start to become vulgar and sexually immoral. And so it's a great concern I have that our criminal justice system, the whole incarceration thing, doesn't seem to be working. I fundamentally question whether it's even a good idea.
Well, you know, just from my experience, I could see that the carnality of the sin, the negativity that we deal with in the system, And I see even the people that I work around, mm-hmm. even people that I know are good people, they get mm-hmm. caught up in that. And yeah. they get caught up in, you know, the as you put it, the vulgarness.
Yeah. Well, look at King David. I mean, he loved God. He was a hero of the faith, but he fought so many. He killed Goliath, and Goliath was his first. Then he killed thousands of the enemies of the Lord and the Philistines. And then he wanted a woman who he didn't have the right to have, and he murdered her husband.
Right.
So he had so much blood on his hands that it made him bloodthirsty. And so thankfully, he humbled himself and repented. But if he hadn't, his end would have been like King Saul's, because Saul became a murderer and he never repented. So he went to hell, but David was forgiven.
Yes.
So this is hard. When you deal in difficult situations, it tends to rub off on you, and you need God.
You definitely need God. Mm. That is so evident. I could not be at peace with what I do if it were not for God.
Yeah. So these are extraordinary stories and opportunities. So that guy, did he indicate he was being processed? Did he indicate a desire then to recommit his life to Christ?
He did. By the time I got him processed and taken over to the jail, he rededicated his life to Christ. I was able to explain to him how the love of Christ will bring him back if he mm-hmm. repents.
Yeah.
That he could serve God, and that he can be free from feeling that burden. And
yeah.
he did. He turned his life right there.
Christ is standing at the door knocking, you know, and he wants us to let him in. He wants that fellowship. Danny, there was a guy, I was in an intake cell, and there was a big guy who was arrested for drugs. And I'm not that tall. He was a big, mean guy. We're the only two in there. And he's trying to get a bail bondsman on the phone. There's a payphone in there, and you could call them collect. And he's banging the phone against a wall, and he's cussing, and he's angry. And he takes the Lord's name in vain. So I said to him, you know, that's not a good idea to disrespect God. And he looked at me and he said, you are absolutely right. He said, the last thing I need to do now is have the Lord curse me. He said, thank you. And, you know, who would have thought it? You'd think, right. You know, a drug dealer in jail, angry. But people know there's a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts. And a lot of people know that when they do wrong, it's because they're rebelling against Jesus Christ.
That's right. When we talk about rebellion, as actually arresting a female earlier this week, she started just sharing with me, and I don't know if it was just my personality or I think it's just how God uses me, but people tend to open up to me, and I think it's just the idea that I show a little bit of respect when I'm arresting these people. And
mm-hmm.
she was sharing with me about her child a few years back, died at the age of 2 or 3 months. I think it was a SIDS death.
Oh, no.
And in this process, she was sharing with me about her anger with God and how angry she became at God and how she blamed him and how, in her mind, it was God's fault that her child was killed.
What a great tragedy when people blame God.
It's such a great tragedy. And so she asked me, she said, what are your thoughts on this? She said, my background is Jehovah's Witness, but she goes, it's hard for me to follow my faith because I feel like I'm not going to be one of the 144,000.
What a ridiculous teaching, right? Right there with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Just utterly ridiculous that somehow you got to be one of the 144,000, otherwise you're going to hell or whatever. Right. Annihilated. It's simply not true.
Right, exactly.
God wants to fill the body of Christ and to populate heaven for eternity.
I think heaven would be lonely if there was only 144,000
yeah,
people there.
Yeah, right.
So.
And not to mention the new earth and heaven.
Exactly. Yeah. So it opened up another door for me to just minister to her. And she's sharing with me and she's crying and she's just shedding all these tears. And I just opened up with her and just explained to her how under God's grace, things happen because God allows us to have our own free will because he allowed man to choose to sin,
right.
And man chose that.
Yeah.
You know, things happen, and God doesn't orchestrate evil. God doesn't cause evil things.
So God wants us to love him and love one another, but to love, you have to be free. Love cannot be compelled. A man cannot force a woman to love him. You're married, right?
Right.
Could you force your wife to love you?
No, I could not.
No, but wouldn't it be sick if you tried?
It would be horrible.
It wouldn't mean anything. It doesn't mean. So God has to give us freedom so that we could choose to love one another and love him. And that freedom means we have the freedom to hate one another and to hate him. And then when we do, there are consequences, including disease and death.
Exactly. And I explained that to her. I explained to her exactly how through that free choice, we are free to love Christ. We are free to love God. Or we are free to reject him. We are free to ignore him. And I explained to her how through the freedom that God gave man chose sin. Wow. And because sin came about, it also came with destruction and death.
Wow.
And
now that opens up a fascinating topic. We only have another minute or so, but Danny, we have at Bob and Yurt Live, we offer a predestination and free will seminar on audio, MP3, CD, or downloadable. And we have a DVD series on open theism, which is a fascinating topic in theology that's taking Christians by storm all over the country. Are you familiar with open theism?
I am. I am familiar with
it. We don't really have time to talk about it, but the idea is that God is free and able and creative, and he could eternally create new things. So the future cannot be settled, but it's open because God is free.
Right, right.
And he made us in his image and his likeness. So open theism helps to answer her questions. And then we also have two criminal justice resources. We have an entire criminal justice seminar on MP3 CD. It's about 5 hours, or you could get it downloadable from our website, kgov.com, and God and the Death Penalty DVD, the New Testament support for capital punishment. So these are the ways that we make an effort to educate Christians about what the Bible really says.
That's awesome. One last thing I did, you want, I always talk about doing right and suffering the consequences of doing right. And I love that about this program.
Do right and risk the consequences.
Do right and risk the consequences. And I have a chaplain for our police department who is a Christian chaplain. He's a Lutheran minister by his chaplains. And one day he sent out an email quoting from the Quran, quoting from the Book of Buddha, quoting from these other manuscripts. And he quoted their chapters and verses, talking about all these positive things and wise things, good things.
Well, let me guess, but not the Bible.
But, well, he did quote from the Bible, it was at the end of the email, and it didn't cite the chapter, and it didn't cite where the verse was found.
Right.
It was just quotation marks of a Bible verse that
Political correctness causes Christians to downplay Jesus Christ, Christianity, and the Bible.
That's correct. However, I read the email. Mm. And I sent him an email back, replying to him only, and I admonished him and kind of scolded him and said, listen, I take offense to the fact that, first of all, you're going to quote from other books other than the Bible. You are a Christian chaplain.
Yeah.
When this police department hired you, they knew you were a Christian chaplain.
They didn't hire an imam or a Buddhist.
Correct.
If the police department was in Istanbul, they would have hired an imam.
That's correct. I said they knew who they hired when they hired you to be the chaplain. I said, so I expect as a Christian police officer that you are going to quote from the Bible, list the chapter, list the verse, and quote directly from the Bible and share God's wisdom with the rest of the troops so that they can come to know Christ.
Wow.
Because it does us no good for you to quote Buddha or to quote the Quran or to quote Hinduism when in essence, all of those good things you quoted, God speaks of in a more truthful and pure manner through his word.
Wow. Danny, what a joy to have you on the show, to fellowship. And even in something as difficult as criminal justice, God could be glorified.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Oh, what a great time. And again, our DVD, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, and a Criminal Justice Seminar at kgov.com.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.